Amen. So last week we started this new series, which I've called Practical Christian Living, looking at various things that come out of the book of James, just as a way of encouraging us to remind us that Christianity is a very practical way of living. It's not just spending time with God by myself, which is also important, but it's very practical in how God leads us. And so this morning we want to look at experiencing God's blessing in what we do. Experiencing God's blessing in what we do. Some time ago, Angie and I were talking, and she was saying that she realizes, or she has noticed, that from time to time, the things that we share here, other churches share similar things. And so as I was driving by one of the churches in town this week, I noticed that they were going to share on the secret to success. And I thought, that would be a great title for this morning's message. But I didn't want to seem like a copycat. So I decided to stick with what comes straight out of the scriptures, which is what James chapter 1, and I'm going to read from verse 21 through to verse 25 for us. James chapter 1 from verse 21. This is the New American Standard Version. And it says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word implanted in you, which can save you. That's sozo, which really means save, restore, deliver, set free. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, or a woman, and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. And that's where the title comes from, experiencing God's blessing in what we do. If anyone considers himself religious and yet doesn't keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after the orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So we're talking about experiencing God's blessing in what we do. And so if you're like me, which some of you are not, but some of you might be, the first question that comes to my mind is, what do you mean by blessing? What does it mean to be blessed in what I do? I need to understand this term, blessing. What does that term actually mean? And so I've given you several ideas there. And those of you who are new, you might not realize it, but the outline of what I'm sharing is right there in the bulletin, so that when you leave here, you can go back through what I've shared. And if I don't get a chance to finish everything, you can still finish it on your own. So it's a win-win situation. And so I put here the word blessed or blessed can mean to be happy or to be envied. Some scholars use that idea. But of course, that to be happy sort of, you know, for many of us, that doesn't fully explain the meaning of the word, because people are happy with all manner of stuff. Another definition says it's to experience God's favor. It's to be favored by God. It's to have or to receive God's best in every area of our lives. And so we're talking about then experiencing God's best for us in through whatever we do and in whatever we do. We want to experience God's favor, God's abundance. To be blessed, we can talk about the word, we can use the word success. To have a successful life. But success, as many of us know, has to be considered from the standpoint of the person who's in charge, who's God. What does he consider success to be? Which means really to fulfill our purpose, to endure trials, to draw close to the Lord. In Joshua chapter 1, the Lord said to Joshua, if you want to have success and be prosperous, then you need to hold on to my word. Don't move to the right or to the left, but hold on to my word and you will experience success. You'll experience my favor. You'll experience the fulfillment of your purpose and your destiny. And so we're talking about then experiencing God's favor, God's purpose, fulfilling our purpose in everything that we do, having meaning to life, having a sense of satisfaction, having a sense of knowing that I'm achieving what God wants me to achieve. So my success is not the same necessarily as yours, because I'm accountable to the Lord, and so are you. So I'm not supposed to measure what I'm doing by what you are doing. Rather, I need to measure my success based upon what God is saying to me, how God is leading me. So if we're talking about here in James, James is talking about the word. I'm not sure why this stool is here. Maybe they expect me to sit. But if I sit, you might fall asleep. So I like to walk around. You know, I do that in my class at OTC, walk around, they're asleep, and I get close to them, and suddenly they wake up. Back in the day when I was going to school, the teacher would throw the eraser at you, but I guess today if you do that, they might sue you. So. But we have to prepare ourselves to receive God's word. The parable of the sower, which we have mentioned here before, even though it says it's the parable of the sower, who is really Christ who sows the word, and we are just instruments, people that share the word are just instruments that God would use. Really, the fruitfulness of the word depends on the condition of the soil. The word is the same. It's just a condition of the soil, a condition of the person's heart, whether or not they are prepared to receive that word that is being sown. And so you and I, we have to prepare our hearts to receive God's word. We have to be ready to receive God's word. And so here in James, James says in verse 21, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. In other words, prepare your heart for God's word. We need to do some things. Most of you who have your little vegetable garden at home or whatever, most of you take time to prepare the soil. You pull up the weeds. You dig it up with your little fork. You prepare it. You don't just throw the tomatoes on it and expect it to grow and be fruitful. You dig it up. So we have to prepare our hearts to receive God's word. So he says, get rid of all moral filth. Get rid of all of the sinfulness, the sinful attitudes. Jesus tells us that the things that defile us come from within. It's not the things that we eat, it's the things that come from within. Within, out of the heart of the man comes adulteries, come lies, come deception. And so it's out of the heart it comes. So you and I have to prepare ourselves to receive God's word by uprooting out of our hearts all of those evil desires. That's part of the reason why many people don't benefit from the word, because they've kept those things in their heart, and when the word comes, it can't find a place to lodge, because their hearts are full of all sorts of evil desires, all sorts of moral filth. That's part of the problem with the church. And so people hear the word week after week, year after year, and they don't benefit because so many issues are in their hearts. And it's only under certain circumstances that we see some of these things come to the surface. But it talks about the evil that is prevalent. That's the evil that is all around us. Unfortunately, many times is in the heart of the person who calls himself a child of God. And so James says, uproot those things out of your heart. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter puts it this way, 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Therefore, putting aside all malice, all guile, and hypocrisy, and envy, and all slander. So again, this is the principle. Put aside all of the hurt, and the bitterness, and the slander, and the malice. And I'm not talking to this one. I don't want to sit beside that one. Put aside all of those things if you want to benefit from the word of God. And it says, like newborn babes, and this one is in the New American Standard Version, he says, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word that you may grow in respect to salvation. Why I read the New American Standard is because the NIV here just says crave the pure milk, but it doesn't tell them the milk of what. It says spiritual milk, which in our day and age is very vague, because you have all sort of spiritual stuff out there. But the New American Standard makes it clear. He's talking about the milk that comes from the word of Almighty God. So you put aside all the malice and the slander and the envy and all of these things. We don't gather together to compare ourselves. It doesn't matter what, who wears what. Put aside all those type of stuff. So you come here to worship God, to receive his word, and to leave here charged up, leave here edified, leave here prepared to act upon God's word. And so he says, put aside those things so you can, and then desire the word of God. Back in James 1:21, he says, get rid of all moral filth and evil so prevalent and humbly accept the word. In other words, there needs to be a level of humility that comes out of our heart that says, I need to hear from God. I need God's word. That God's word is the most important thing to you and to me. You know, we can live our lives by all different types of principles. And people outside of Christ do that. But you and I need to realize that the word of God is that which is important to us. That is the word that gives us life. That's the word that sustains us. The Bible says that there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. And so we can live our lives by humanistic ways of thinking, by all sort of philosophies out there. But end of those things is that it doesn't produce the life that we anticipate. It doesn't produce the fulfillment that we expect. So he says, with humility, accept God's word, to realize that God's word is important. That God's word really addresses most of the things in life that we need to have addressed. There are solutions in it. If you want to know how to treat your co-worker, God's word tells us. You want to know how to treat your enemy? The word of God tells us, right? To love your enemy, pray for them, to feed them. The world would say, if it's your enemy, you avoid them. And do whatever you can to trip them up. And all that does is to create more enemies. God's word says, no, love on your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. That's the recipe for dealing with all of these issues, for dealing with difficult people. And so he says to humbly accept it. There must be a level of humility that is in our hearts as the word of God comes and as the word of God is placed there. But if we don't receive it, then before you know it, we lose it. So we must have this desire for God's word. And you and I put here in the notes, we should actively receive God's word. Another scripture for us that comes from Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 says, and verse 2 says, for we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did, talking about Old Testament saints, but the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not hear, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. To receive God's word with faith, to realize that this word will benefit my life. In other words, this is not a political gathering. This is not some optimist club where you get nice ideas. Here, when we talk about God's word, we're talking about things and principles and ways to live that will benefit your life and my life. And so we need to therefore have that outlook. And how we see God's word. And to receive it with faith. If there's a word that comes forward that say, talks about giving, to realize if I apply this word to my life would be better than it is right now. By the way, you're free to say amen. We're still in a free country, still in a free church. It's amazing, people sit and they'll hear the word of God and they say, oh, well, that doesn't apply to me. And they sit under the word year after year after year and they don't change because they just, that doesn't apply to me. That applies to them. You all know the joke of the guy who was in church and the pastor is preaching and he's always shouting, preach it, pastor, preach it. Let them hear it, pastor, let them hear it. Until that Sunday when it snowed. And he was the only one who turned up, and the pastor decided to still preach. And his response was, if only we were here to hear it, pastor. If only they were here to hear it. And that's what happens many times when the people of God gather. That word is always for somebody else. It's not for me. But if you and I receive that word with faith, it would benefit us. That's how we grow. And so that's what the writer of Hebrews are encouraging the people to do, is to receive the word with faith. Just some reminders about God's word as we try and move through this relatively quickly. That God's word revealed to us his nature. It reveals to us his plans. It helps us to understand his heart. His word really is an extension of who he is. So if you want to know God, you have to know his word. There's no way to know God really apart from his word. I thank God for the Spirit. And you and I, you know, I love the move of the Spirit. But the Spirit without the word is not good. Let's put it that way. We have to have the word and we have to have the Spirit. As one person said, the word by itself without the Spirit will become dry and you dry up. But the Spirit without the word, you blow up. But with the Spirit and the word, you grow up. And so we need both the Spirit and the word. And so we have to spend time receiving God's word, spend time studying God's word. It becomes the foundation for my life and for your life. I'm not going to build my life on anything else but the word of Almighty God. You remember the story that Jesus, the response you said is going to happen on that day when men will come to him and he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And he's going to say, basically to them, is that the man who hears my word and doesn't practice it is like the man who builds his house upon sand. You're hearing it and you think your house is nice, but because you're not practicing the word, your house is upon sand. And when difficulties come, when hardships come, your house falls. But the man who hears the word of God and does it, he says, is like the man who builds his house upon rock. It's stable. It can withstand no matter what external circumstances come. That house will stand because he's building his house upon the word of God. He's acting upon it. He's applying it to his life. The Bible says his word is forever settled in the heavens. It's not going to change. People would like for his word to change, but the truth is it's not going to change. God doesn't change and his word remains the same. The psalmist says that he has exalted his word above all things. That's one version. Another version says Psalm 138 and verse 32. I should have it somewhere here. The psalmist says, verse 1 says, Psalm 138, verse 1 says, of David, I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I'll sing your praise. Verse 2 says, I'll bow down toward your holy temple. I will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. The New American Standard Version says, your name, and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness or your love and for your truth. For you have magnified your word according to all your name. So God puts his name and his word basically on the same plane. And so that's why it's so important for you and I to hear his word and to apply it to our lives. Because whatever he intended for his word to accomplish, it will be accomplished as you and I apply it to our lives and walk in it. The psalmist says the entrance of his word brings light. Brings revelation, brings understanding. It says that his word restores our soul, it revives our soul. When you're down and you're sure what's happening and you receive God's word, it has the ability to bring again new life into our innermost being. So let's talk for the rest of our time about some of the benefits of practicing God's word. James says the one who hears the word and doesn't apply it to his or her life is like the person who just looks in a mirror, realizes that they don't look too nice. God's word helps us to see ourselves. You realize you don't look too nice, but you leave and forget. You leave and forget just how unpleasant your features were rather than clean yourself up with the word. I remember several years ago, My wife and I, we were in the process of moving to Missouri. And so we had all manner of packing and things to do. And so from morning till evening, I was busy. But I had to meet my brother, one of my older brothers, who worked at the International Development Bank in Jamaica. I had to meet him at his office. And so I just rushed out after we didn't have time to get to meet him. And I'd forgotten that I hadn't even combed my hair or do any stuff. because I was so busy. And here I am, ending up in the man's office with all of his nice dressed people all around. And I'm like, oh my goodness. I forgot. And that's what James is saying, that many times when you're hearing the word, you realize you need to adjust your life here or there. But because we don't apply the word, we forget and we think that we are all nice and everything is fine. And those looking on can see the shortcomings, they can see the failures, they can see the fact that we're not growing, we're not progressing. But we can't, because we have forgotten the word. We haven't applied the word to our lives or remain the same. Thank God sometimes even for little children. Eh? Thank God for little children who will say, are we not going to church tonight? Yeah, here we are professing we love God and we want to spend more time with him. But our actions are saying something else. And a little child will say, aren't we going to church tonight? Thank God that sometimes he uses children to speak to you and to me, to help us to see where our hearts are at. And we can, as many parents do, say, oh no, let's forget about that tonight. Why don't you go and watch Sesame Street or something else? And by doing that, we're actually sending a different message to the child, and later on we wonder, where did we go wrong? Well, they told the child that some other things are more important than God many times over, and so the child came to a place where he or she decided, well, perhaps you're right. So the word, when we act upon it, prevents us from deceiving ourselves. Prevents us from believing that we are up here when we are down here. Again, that's part of the problem with the church, because people sit and hear the word, and they sit and hear it for 30 years. And so because they've been in church for 30 years, they assume that they are mature, when they are not, because they have not applied some things like forgiveness into their lives. They have not acted upon how you should treat someone who disrespects you. They have not acted upon the word. So just coming to church for 30 years doesn't mean that you are mature. You could still be a 30-year-old babe in Christ. It's only as we act upon the word, that's what Peter says, that you might grow thereby. It's only as we act upon the word that we actually grow. You can go to all of the buffets and look at all of the food, but if you don't eat it and allow it to come inside of you and be a part of you, you're not going to grow. You won't even know what it tastes like. So, James says, act upon the word can prevent us from deceiving ourselves. Act upon the word will help us to grow and to mature. It results in spiritual transformation. Something supernatural happens as you and I act upon the word. Simple things. If you're just talking about praying for the person who has mistreated you, you don't feel like it. And sometimes when you pray, you want to pray for the worst to come, but the Lord says, the Spirit of God inside of you says, no, that's not what he meant. He really meant for you to pray for good things to happen to them, for their eyes to be enlightened. And as you start to pray, and it might take a while, but suddenly something happens inside of your heart, and you realize you no longer have this animosity and this bitterness against a person. But it only happens as you apply the word of God to your life. Walking away and not seeing them for 2 or 3 years doesn't help. Because the moment you see them after a year, after 3 years, you realize, oh, this is what they did to me 3 years ago. And I thought I was over it, but you are not, because you have not been acting upon the word. It gives us the formula, the recipes to deal with all of the issues of life. Paul says in Ephesians 5 that we are cleansed by the word. We are washed by the word of God. Something happens as we apply the word of God into our lives. You and I become clean, we become refreshed, we become strengthened by the word of God. Here in James chapter 1 verse 25, he says, the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. There's something out there, there's a lie out there that says that God's word is bondage. You know that? The world believes that the Bible is bondage. To live by the principle of God's word is bondage. Leave me to live my life the way I want to live it. And I want to live it in what I consider to be freedom. But the fact is, what is outside of God's word, actually, that's the era of bondage. You see? The word of God is the word that gives us freedom. He calls it the word of liberty. Jesus says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And so if you and I want to walk in freedom, what we have to do is to apply God's words to our life. And as we do that, things start to break off our lives and you and I can walk in freedom. So it's a lie and deception of the enemy that says, I don't need God's word. Just leave me to do whatever I want to do. And you can see what happens in a nation that does that. We end up in all sort of crazy stuff, can't tell male from female because we just reject God's word and think we're walking in freedom when we're walking rather in bondage. And so the way to freedom really is application of God's word. Thank God for prayers. Prayers can break off some of the stuff of our lives. But if you and I want to continue to walk in freedom, we have to walk in the truth of God's word. The psalmist says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. If you want to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord, then we have to allow his word to become a part of us, because that word in itself become, as it were, like a standard, like a guidance to our footsteps, and keep us from doing the things that are displeasing to the Lord, and help us to remain in the path where we can receive more and more of God's blessing. Psalm 119, verse 105, the psalmist says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. If you want to know how to live life, it's the word of God, applying God's word to our lives. The word of God becomes the foundation for us to even hear and discern God's voice. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow. But to be able to discern God's voice, it comes from understanding God's word and studying God's word and applying God's word to our hearts. Because as we do that, we come to realize the ways in which God speaks. And to know that God will not tell us to do things that are contrary to what he has already given to us here. As you spend time meditating upon his word, the psalmist says in Psalm 1, he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the ways of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that does he meditate day and night. And what happens? He becomes like a tree planted by the waters that bring forth fruit in due season, able to sustain himself by the Spirit of God, no matter what the circumstances are, because of the word of Almighty God. It's invaluable. People have laid down their lives for this over the years. But it's not enough just to hear it. We have to practice it. We have to do it. We have to put feet to the word. Hearing is easy. I was sharing, and I've shared this before, but I was sharing this with somebody recently. Hearing is like the child, the young person, the 15-year-old child who gets his or her driver's permit. Yeah, they've studied and they passed the exam, but can they drive? I'm not going to give them my car. But I can drive. No, you can't. You need somebody beside you to help you to know how to slow down and know how to take the corners and how to park and all of these type of things. And so what has happened to us over the years is that people have sat down and have heard the word, and sometimes they can even recite some of the stories. But because they've not been applying them to their lives, they've deceived themselves and they've not benefited from the word. And so here James is encouraging us. If you want to be blessed in everything that you do, apply the word to your life. It will bring forth results. Trust me. It will bring forth results. This is not Shakespeare, this is not some philosopher out there. This is the word of God, which is able to change and transform your life and my life. It's powerful. It's sharper, the Bible says, than any two-edged sword. Help us even discern what's happening inside of us internally. I'm going to ask Sean to come on back. From the word of God, we are then able to discern God's voice and to receive what scholars call a rhema word, the preceding word, the spoken word that God might speak into our hearts on the spur of the moment. And that word, when we act upon it with faith, we see miracles being released. But it's hard for God to speak the rhema word into our hearts if there's no foundation there. And if there's no willingness to be obedient. And so that's the beauty about Bonnie's testimony. Because the foundation of God's word is there. And when the rhema words come, she can act upon it and see the miracles take place. But you see, God is not going to be speaking out of rhema words to people who don't love what is already written here. If we just put this one side and cause dust to come upon it and expecting God to keep speaking to us, then we are deceiving ourselves. It's the one who acts upon the word who gets more. And so the success in life really comes from acting upon God's word. Success in life doesn't come from having degrees and going to school and have all of those type of stuff. Because you and I, we can look at many people who have those things and look at their lives and see life is just a total mess. Success in life doesn't come from having money. I mean, just look at Hollywood. Success in life comes from living by God's word. Applying God's word to our life. And as we do that, we see our lives being transformed and we see the miraculous taking place. And we experience a joy unspeakable that is full of glory. So James, remember he is writing to Christians who were scattered across the then known world. People were being persecuted for their faith. They were experiencing trials. And he says, count it all joy. And the next thing he says to them is, put God's word into practice. But James, that doesn't sound exciting. But James is saying, if you want to be successful, no matter what's happening around you, put God's word into practice. Live God's word. It's simple. Let us stand. If we want to benefit from God's word, according to James, we have to prepare our hearts. Remove from out of our hearts the malice. Remove from out of our hearts the envy. In the parable of the sower, those were the things that choked God's word, the desire for riches. Those were the things that choked God's word and caused it to be unfruitful. Remove the stones and the hardness of heart. Soften our hearts, humble ourselves, and receive the word of God that's been planted into our lives. Allow it to stay there and bear fruit. If you want to grow in faith, have the foundation of God's word in your life. Act upon it. Let us bow our heads this morning. Maybe there's somebody in this house, you're saying, Joe Campbell, I've walked away from the Lord. And I want to recommit myself to Him this morning. I'm going to ask us to raise your hand right where you're standing. Anybody in this house? You need to recommit yourself to the Lord. And then for the rest of us, it really is a decision that you and I need to continually make, which is to apply God's word. Not to allow His word just to come and just to pass us by. Because sometimes we think that we know it until we are put to the test. If you hear the word, let's say a word comes about giving, then just act upon it. If the word comes about forgiving, just act upon it. If the word comes about studying and knowing His word and meditating upon it, act upon it. So let's take a moment and make that commitment, that renew that commitment in your heart this morning to the Lord. That, Lord, yes, I don't just want to be a hearer of your word, I want to be a doer. And maybe even in this quiet moment, God might speak into your heart and tell you something that you need to do. You take a moment and at least mentally record that in your mind, that this is something that God wants me to do in response even to this message this morning, so you can benefit from the word. God, our Creator, has given us his manual for how we ought to live. The manufacturer's manual. If we follow the manual, we'll experience the best that there is in life. Or you can reject the manual and follow human philosophies and ideas, which only lead to more chaos and eventually to death. They say you can't legislate morality, which is a lie from the pit of hell, because we already have done it in terms of saying, thou shalt not kill. If you kill, you're going to jail. If you steal, you're going to jail. If you commit fraud, you're going to jail. The manufacturer tells us how to live individually, as a family, as a community, as a nation. Righteousness exalts a nation, the Bible says. Not just Israel, but a nation. The manufacturer's manual shows us how to get the best out of life. Father, we thank you this morning that you didn't just create us and leave us on our own. But Father, you gave us your word to show us how to get the best, the most out of life. How to be blessed in everything that we do. Father, we thank you, God, that you don't just give us your word and expect us to do it by our own strength. But Father, your spirit comes alongside us. And your spirit enables us to live according to your word. And so, Father, this morning we ask you to create in us a hunger and a thirst for more of you, for more of your word. Lord, help us, as Peter would say, to crave your word. To crave having your word applied into our lives. To crave understanding your word. Father, help us to see, oh God, your word is the most important thing that we can have to live our lives by. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise this morning for your goodness and for your grace towards us. And Lord, as we leave this place, Lord, we ask you to go with us. May your spirit rest upon us. May your anointing, oh God, be evident in us and through us. Father, may you fill our mouths, oh God, with the things you want us to say. So that, oh God, when we speak to people, they might receive with grace the things that we have to say. And that their lives, oh God, will be transformed. Help us to show and demonstrate the love of Christ in everything that we do, oh God. Father, we also thank you for the food that is prepared for us. Lord, we pray that this food will be strength to our bodies. That this food, oh God, will give us additional energy that we need to continue to serve you. And so, Lord, we give you thanks and we give you praise for your goodness. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and all of God's people said, and amen.